Captain.
Robots this up size next of blood is cells. Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And Out There, it goes from 4 to 5, and then from 5 to 6, we have Democracy Now! I have a guest with me in the studio today, Dwayne Rainey. We'll hear from him soon. But first, I want to make an announcement about the Know Your Rights training and potluck in Springfield this evening from 5:30 to 7:30. Today's October 22nd is the National Day Against Police Brutality, and the Western Mass Recovery Learning Center is having a workshop. Don't take your rights for granted. Learn what they are and how to assert them during this free training put together by Arise for Social Justice, the National Lawyers Guild, and the Western Mass Recovery Learning Community. We'll go over different situations such as traffic stops, door knocks, and pedestrian frisks. When can a police officer search your car, your home, your person? What is reasonable suspicion, and what is probable cause? That's at 340 Main Street in Springfield this evening from 5:30 to 7:30. Now, to warm us up, here's a song that Dwayne requested.
Now it's wishing that I would die.
So a theme of Out There is local lives, and I thought of Dwayne. He's pretty local, and he's my friend. So thanks so much, Dwayne, for coming in with me on the maiden voyage of Out There.
My pleasure.
Where around town might people see you?
Probably downtown Northampton or on the bike path or in Florence or all over the place.
You live here, you work here, you shop here, you walk here, you bike here.
All of the above.
Where are you from?
I'm from Florence. I was born and raised here in Florence, Massachusetts. And I've pretty much lived here all of my life.
What kind of work are you doing downtown?
I work for ServiceNet in the Shelter and Housing Division down in Northampton. And we work with a homeless population and try and help people obtain housing.
How did you get your qualifications for this job?
Yes, it's quite a long list. I was approached about 3 years ago, and because of my qualifications, I was asked if I wanted to take and do work at the shelter as a peer. And that's turned into a lot more than just a peer. I guess being homeless myself, have been in the shelters sometimes, or in jail, or pretty much just homeless for around 17 years besides being in jail. And in recovery from addictions, they figured I had some qualifications to help the people that would be coming in through the doors, and that's what I try and do.
And you also got the ACE certification?
Yeah, I went to Westfield State University and went through their addiction counseling education program they had over there. So eventually I can become certified as an alcohol and drug counselor.
So I'm curious to hear more about your path in life, like growing up in Florence. Do you have any stories from your childhood?
From my childhood?
The home.
Yeah. I guess that pretty much, well, it was in the 60s, and my parents, they just liked to party. So I was brought up around alcohol and drugs, and it's pretty much what I knew. It was acceptable, or if not funny, to sit around and my aunts would party or something, and here, let them have some of this orange juice, which was spiked with vodka.
How old were you?
3, 4, and I get drunk and stagger around, and they thought that was funny, and I just liked the way it felt. So, it had always been in my life, so that's what I knew.
I remember when I started noticing you around town, maybe 6 or 7.
How could you not?
Maybe 6 or 7 years ago. I remember one day I was coming back from a tour of the landfill with Karen McQuillan, who was solid waste coordinator at that time. And we were in her car driving down Ryan Road. We just turned off of Glendale Road. And you were standing out there on Ryan Road with your thumb out. And we went by and I was like, hey, I know that guy. And she was like, you do? And I was like, yeah. And so she came to her stuff and we picked you up. And then when you got in, I remember you talking about how you said, oh, yeah, I used to work at the landfill.
Yeah. That was one of my jobs in jail there one time, chasing paper bags or plastic bags, which a friend of mine, E.T. Meller, said that were very aerodynamic and you're getting caught in the trees and just going all over the fences, the catch fences that they had there at the landfill. So I spent a couple of weeks out there smelling that methane gas and picking up bags. It was just not a great job.
So you're also an accomplished cook and have worked at a lot of restaurants downtown?
Yeah. Another talent that I didn't know I had that I found when I think it was one of my first incarcerations way back in the 80s. I wanted to get out of the cell block and all I wanted to do was scrub pots and pans because I was pretty mad that I was locked up. So And next thing you know, I had a talent for cooking, and I ended up doing that for a good 20 years.
How did you find out you had the skill?
I got to attribute it to mashed potatoes. Every day at the old Union Street Jail, we would have like meat and mashed potatoes and gravy, and that's all I wanted, scrub pots and pans and eat. And one day I had everything, and I walked over, and there was no mashed potatoes. So I said, "Hey, where's my mashed potatoes?" And the guy said, "Oh, I'm sorry. And so he made them up, and I got them, and I was happy. And the next night, it was the same thing, and he said to me, "You know what I did last night?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, just do it." I said, "Do I ask you to scrub my pots and pans?" So I did it, and I was under protest, and then they decided that they wanted to make me a cook, and I just had a talent for it, and I cooked a lot in public or courtesy of the Hampshire County House of Corrections. Many years ago.
And then weren't you working at a restaurant once and someone asked you to fry an egg, scramble an egg, or something like that?
To burn an egg? No. I was working for a man, Joe Myers. He owned a restaurant in town, Myers Eatery, down on Pleasant Street. And he was a farmer, and he really didn't know much about cooking. And I just got put into this job to do some prep, and next thing you know, I started cooking for him, and Valley Advocate Award, and then another one. So Smith College graduation weekend, the weekend before, the restaurant was packed, and a waitress comes up and says, "This lady wants burnt toast, burnt bacon, burnt eggs." So I said, "What?" So I made the bacon extra crispy. The toast was kind of black, and the eggs were fried, and sent them out. And a minute later, the waitress comes back and says, "They're not burnt enough." I said, "What?" Because I could cook very well. I'm like, "I don't burn stuff." So I threw it in the hottest part of the grill and put weights on it. And about 10 minutes later, and we sent the toast through the toaster until it was glowing orange and no more smoke, and sent it out. And the waitress came back, and she said it's not burnt enough. And by that time, I was out of my mind. And I said, "Show me the table." And I walked out and very politely said, "Excuse me, don't worry about paying for the drinks. They're on the house." I said, "But would you please kindly get up and leave my restaurant?" I said, "I have plenty of people standing outside waiting to come in here and eat my food. If you want to burn food, do it at your own house. Just please leave." And they left. But that was one of the only complaints I ever got about my cooking.
You also worked at Florence Casket at one point too, right?
Oh, yes. I think that was my first job when I got out of the Marine Corps. I would make caskets, which, I don't know, is slap some wood together, but I don't miss opportunities. And so every once in a while, I'd hop in a casket and cross my arms and say, "What are you doing?" So I'm checking it out for size. He says, "Okay, that's a little strange." Yeah, I worked there for about a month, and just before I got into the union, they fired me. Oh, well.
How come they fired you?
We only have an hour.
Okay. Do you want to tell that one?
All right. Yeah,
no, you don't
have
to. No, you don't have to.
I was down in Florence, and I lived like way about 3 miles outside of town, and I was with this friend of mine till 3:30 in the morning. And instead of walking all the way out to Lake Sylvester Road, I said, "You know, they had these straw bales on this dock at Florence Casket." And I says, "I'll just go there and crawl underneath one of the casket covers on these bales and sleep until the morning, a couple hours. And then I hear people going in And I'll just get up and go in with the rest of the crowd, run a comb through my hair. My paycheck was that day, so I was like, you know, then I'll go get something to eat. So I was all settled in, and I heard this door slide open. It was a night watchman, and There was this light on the loading dock, and it was really bothering me, so I unscrewed it. And when the night watchman opened the door, he looked, and I heard the light switch click, click, click. And nothing was going on. Then I heard the light bulb screwing back in and then click. And the old man said, "Now, I wonder who did that." It was October, right around Halloween. I couldn't resist a good opportunity, so I just sat up with a casket cover, pulled it down, said, "I did." This poor old man, he couldn't move. He couldn't talk or anything. And then I laid back down with a cover over me. And 2 days later, I was let go. He was one of the owner's relatives or something. But it was, I just seized the moment.
So the last 5 years have been pretty different from your first 49. Has there been any pivotal moment in your life that's helped you to make changes? You've told me some, like, along the way, like around the turn of the century, some of the readings you did in jail and things like that. But how have you managed to change some bad habits into good?
Well, the Hampshire County House of Corrections isn't what they say they are. They don't correct you. They'll lock you up. But it's up to each individual to take and change behaviors. I think through the 90s, I spent quite a long time. I couldn't stay out of their system for more than 2 or 3 months, and I would be locked up again. All, you know, drinking related, of course, but. And I started getting a little nervous. I'm like, oh, something's got to change because I'm sick and tired of being locked up all the time. And that's not really a lot of fun. So I spent about 6 years through the 90s cooking for free in Hampshire County House of Corrections. Getting out and just going back and doing the same thing that got me in there in the first place. So it's... They have programs up there, and they're good programs, and everyone that's in there wants to say what the people up there they think want to hear, but the test is when you get out, and normally when people get out, they revert back to the same lifestyle that pretty much got them in there in the first place. And then I was out for a period of time. I mean, it was... Mostly because like a program or a detox or just an out and out geographical movement. Like I moved to Boston for 5 years and was homeless down there. And you know what? The cops around here in this small town, they weren't PCing me down there. Nobody cared. So I was good in a big, big city. And then I came back and... I mean, I wasn't even getting arrested for anything. Good. If you want to put it as good.
Well, what kinds of things did you get arrested for?
Open container, PC. I mean, just... It's just kind of harassment just to get you off the street. Just to see if they can, like, drive you out of town again. And I think my brother had gotten sober around this time, and he was telling me, "Oh, you got to get sober." And I'm like, "You know what? It's working for you. That's good." But and I had been in AA sometimes. I had been, you know, a model prisoner in AA and in jail, and but you have to accept. You know, there's steps and things like that with the AA program. And I did what I call I had to dumb up because I was too smart. I had the answers. I had loopholes. And a good drunk or drug addict, they always can find a loophole or some way to make things fit. And my loophole was the only requirement was a desire to stop drinking. And I said, well, I got a desire. I just can't stop. And yeah. But for the past 5 years, a lot of things have changed in my life. And I am thankful to like programs like AA and just new opportunities that present themselves the longer that I behave myself.
So when you, so did you like wake up one morning and be like, I'm really going to try again, I've hit rock bottom, or this might be the time that I'm going to stop for a stretch, or what was that like for you?
I really had no idea. I mean, if I wasn't like being locked up, I was doing a detox circuit, and I've got about 40 of those. And there was this woman down at a place in Worcester, and she was just big and mean looking, and she said the F word a lot, and this stuff wants to kill you, that's all it wants. And I can usually make jokes with anybody, and her, I wasn't even gonna, because I figured she'd kick my butt. And but she just said that over and over and over, and it's like, yeah, I know it wants to kill me, okay, whatever. And I got out, and I didn't really know what I was going to do except sit on my bench down in Pulaski Park and drink. But for whatever reason, I saw my brother, and he goes, oh, not drunk yet? And I said, no, just I didn't know what I was going to do. I wound up in a shelter in Greenfield like 2 days later. And I just said, well, I got a couple of days. I might as well just roll with this. And almost 5 years later, I'm still rolling. And I've got a lot of good friends, a lot of support. Mm-hmm. And now I can take and turn that around and try and help and support other people who are struggling with this disease. Which it is. Yeah, I had to take and fill up. I took the booze out, and I had to find things to take and replace it with the hole that left, because alcohol had been such a part of my life.
Yeah, I remember in the first few years of your sobriety, a lot of people who knew you just being like, wow, you are such a miracle, Dwayne.
Yeah, well, I'm just doing the same thing like millions of other people have done. I had to dumb up and say, okay, I'm not God. And that was a shock. It's like, what? The world doesn't revolve around me? I'm not the center of the universe? And swallow my pride some and just say, well, how many times do I got to show myself that what I was doing just didn't work? And try something different. Yeah, and so it's the results. I mean, nobody was offering me a job 6-7 years ago, let alone trusting me. So yeah, like the song says, it's pretty amazing.
You've had the same bicycle for how many years now, too?
Yes, I've done many, many, many. Yeah, when I was drinking, I go through 3 or 4 bikes a summer. You know, I'd lose them. I'd crack them up. I'd sell them. They get stolen. And I was just happy that they just rolled. I didn't care about brakes or gears. As long as they could roll me to the package store and back, I was good. But wow, yeah, I just replaced the drive train on my bike, and I'm good for another 20,000 miles. I've gone on a lot of long trips, as you know, superheroes. Just took a trip just recently up by Brattleboro, Vermont and back. Yeah, so I've had the same bike with all gears. breaks and runs just well for the past almost 5 years. So that's always a good thing.
What have been some of the rocky spots along the way in the last several years, where have you've just felt like uncomfortable or not at ease, where you're like, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think one of them, there was different points that I have to say I could have went one way or the other. One was at a New Year's Eve party with some people. And I was sitting there and they were playing board games and sipping tea on New Year's Eve. And I felt so out of place. I was like, if these people only knew who I was, they wouldn't have let me in their house. And I just felt really uncomfortable. And I said, well, I mean, I could take off and not have to deal with it and go get drunk or something and say, well, you know what? Or I could take and just sit there and go with it and get through it. And it made me a stronger person, knowing that certain situations I could actually function in without a drink. And on a New Year's Eve party, that was one of those times where it was either make it or break it. And luckily I got through it.
So your work now, like, what's some of the things you most enjoy about it?
The people. I am probably one of the first people they see when they come walking through the door. And I'll sit down with them and find out why they're there. I mean, they're usually not coming through the door because their life is great. They're there because they need some kind of help. And now, I mean, just through practical experience of having been in their position and knowing how to navigate different areas, I can point them maybe in the direction of where they can get maybe medical help or the resource center. The Hampshire County Homeless Resource Center is set up really well with medical staff, caseworkers, and what we do is, you know, just help guide people and show them directions that they can go, whether it be at the homeless shelter Grove Street or the Interface Shelter during the winter, which winter's coming up and the Interface Shelter will be open. But I really enjoy my job. I can help. I go to work every day and I think, you know, well, who am I going to help today? And I don't know who I'm really going to help that day, but I'm there and I do have quite a few answers and I know where to take and point people. And then it's up to them of what they want to do.
Yeah, you said you've been to 30 or 40 detoxes, plus, you know, like the shelters in the area, the jails. Like, you really know the system from the inside out. That must give you a lot of knowledge and trying to make good fits for people.
Yeah, everybody's like unique, so you can give them the tools and my thing that I believe in is that I'm not going to work harder than the people that come in the door do. I can tell them places that they can go or the help or the services that they can utilize, but I'm not going to do it for them. They have to do it themselves. And so that sometimes can be challenging.
So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Valley Free Radio 103.3 FM. This is Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, and we've been talking with Dwayne Rainey. Well, actually, Dwayne's been doing most of the talking. That's his job today. But we're going to have a little clip. This is called Name That Sound. We're on the half hour during Out There. We'll have Name That Sound. And I'll play a clip that I recorded from somewhere in Northampton. And if you know what it is, you can call in at 585-1033. Dwayne's here to answer the phone. Yeah. And if you know what this sound is, yeah, give us a call and let us know. Let me know, because honestly, I'm not quite sure exactly what it is. I mean, I know what it is, but if you know specifically what it is, then give us a call. And there's prizes, too. You can have your choice of 4 ounces of goat cheese homemade by my brother in Kentucky from his goats, or a duck egg from the backyard in Florence. Now, if you're vegan, I can come up with a vegan option, too. All right. So if you know what kind of bird that is, give us a call, 585-1033. Maybe it's something migrating. It was in the backyard the other morning. All right, now, hey, Dwayne, can you read that PSA?
Why not? Northampton Shelter Sunday, October 25th and 26th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Northampton, East Hampton, Florence, and Leeds. The Northampton Shelter Sunday Coalition needs your help raising critical funds for 6 agencies serving the hungry and homeless in Northampton on Saturday and Sunday, October 25th and 26th. The event happens from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at designated collection sites on Saturday, October 25th, and from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. as door-to-door canvassing or collection site volunteer opportunities on October 26th. Volunteers are needed for both days. No experience necessary? Do you want to do it alone? When you call or email to register, you can request to volunteer as a club, student group, or family. By donating a few hours of your time, you'll be supporting the work of the following organizations: Grace House, Grove Street Inn and ServiceNet, Interfaith Emergency Shelter, Manna Soup Kitchen, Safe Passage, and the SRO, Single Room Occupancy Project. Please share information about this opportunity widely and contact us at 582-9508 or at volunteer@NorthamptonShelterSunday.org to sign up or if you have any questions. For more information is also available at www.NorthamptonShelterSunday.org.
Do you want to say anything else about that, since I know you've done it, and what can you say about it? Is it fun?
Yes, it can be a lot of fun. I've done it, well, last year was in the rain, and still, and by the time I got to do it, it was like around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and people are already out doing stuff, so I enjoy walking around just knocking on people's doors, and, you know, at least now they're not calling the cops. That's a great opportunity. It's for a great cause, and I hope that people will take and sign up to volunteer.
All right. Here's some George Jones.
I've had choices since the day that I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, no, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I've made. I was tempted by an early age. I found I liked drinking. Oh, and I never turned it down. There were loved ones but I turned them all away. Now I'm living and dying with the choices I've made. I've had choices since the day that I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, no, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I made. Guess I'm paying for the things that I have done. If I could go back, oh Lord knows I'd run. But I'm still losing this game of life I played, losing and dying with the choices I've made. I've had choices since the day that I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I've made. Living and dying with the choices I made.
Welcome back to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, here with Dwayne Rainey in the studio. Before we go on, I want to make an announcement about the Pioneer Valley Workers Center launch and art opening tomorrow. That's Thursday, October 23rd, from 5:30 to 8:30 at 25 New South Street. And the launch will take place at the Restaurant Worker Art opening, and it'll feature visual and performing arts by Northampton restaurant workers. Come and enjoy music, art, light refreshments, and meet our organizing team. Tomorrow from 5:30 to 8:30 at 25 New South Street, Suite 100. So, Dwayne, you got some more stories. All right, I need to ask you specific questions.
Okay.
So tell me about your the superheroes rides, and also one of the first bike trips, long bike trips that you did. What was it like to take a long bike trip for the first time?
My bike trips usually, or maybe about a mile or 2 miles round trip, and that was to a package store and back to my campsite. I say a mile or 2 miles because weaving and zigging and zagging, and I'm not exactly sure how far they were, but I took a trip. I had an opportunity to take a trip in October, I think, 2011 or 10. Down in New Britain, Connecticut. I rode on Farmington Rail Trail. It was probably about 50, 60 miles, but you know what? It was great. I mean, it's a beautiful rail trail. And I was in shape to take it. And so I had a really good time. I rode down there with you, and I rode back by myself, and people said, "What, are you crazy?" I said, "Well, I don't know if they were talking about me just riding back by myself or riding 100 miles on a bike."
And the bike you rode it on, what was that like?
It was kind of a small bike, but
with fat knobby tires.
Yes. It wasn't exactly a $3,000 bike, that's for sure. It was more like a $50 Walmart bike, but I didn't care. And it was good. My butt was sore when I got off it. I was like, I'm not getting back on that bike, and I still had to get back on it and ride another 2.9 miles back to my home. But, you know, it was great. It was to get outside of around here in a beautiful scenery, especially in October. Yeah, it was great. Since then, you introduced me to a superhero bike ride, which I've been on a couple so far. One was in Iowa. Went out to Ames, Iowa, and met up with about 25 other superheroes. And it's really cool. You get a superhero name, you wear a cape, and you ride around from town to town and just do good deeds for people. And that's, you know, it's great just to go into a community and say, hey, who needs help? And they look at you like, do you know anyone that needs help? And they're like, oh, what's this going to cost? Until we start doing work in the community, whether it's a soup kitchen or on a farm or... And then as soon as people know what we're there for and what we're doing, they're all like, wow, look at this. A couple of years ago, we were riding through Michigan, and there's about 25 of us in capes and all. Some people get pretty elaborate. We were riding into Detroit, and man, we got some looks. People were snapping pictures, but they were like, wow. Because there's a bunch of crazy-looking white people on bicycles riding into Detroit, and they're like, what are these people doing?
With trailers and pots and pans banging. We had the whole kitchen
set. Yeah, it's the shock effect, I think. And if this had happened in Northampton, people wouldn't, you know, really give it a second thought, but... Just to see, and especially in some cities like Pontiac and Detroit, that are really, there's a lot of empty houses, a lot of poverty.
Yeah, we got a really warm welcome in Detroit. It was really amazing.
Yeah.
And then where did you stay? Where did we stay at night?
Oh, well, we just camp out wherever. Yes, we would camp out. And we didn't know where we would camp out, but you know something? They put it to the stars or to the wind or whatever it was that they put it to. Every night we found some place where we could take it and set up our tents and cook our dinner. And, just, you know, people stop in and look at us and like, what's up with these people? But, hey, we're just here to take and support people and helped him with weed in a garden. We moved a old woman's bed from one floor down to another floor one time. And yeah, so it's, I've enjoyed the times that I've gone because it's just a good opportunity, A, to take a vacation, meet up with people who like enjoy riding bikes and helping people.
Do you have a superhero name?
My superhero name? Is Split Second.
If anyone has not seen Dwayne Splitwood, he can do it in a second. And then, and for your cape and outfit, do you wear some tidy tights?
Oh no! I told my friends if they ever saw me in spandex and little clippy toe shoes, they can shoot me because I've lost my mind.
Not a dress up kind of guy.
No, definitely. I'll ride a bike, but. Usually in work boots and jeans, thank you.
Here's another song that Dwayne suggested. Let me see if...
Gonna make a change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street, but not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind?
So thanks for tuning in to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I did name that sound about 15 minutes ago, and
no one's named it.
No one's named it.
I know.
What?
It's a bird.
Yeah, we know. Well, I'll try and do some research between now and next week and see if I can figure out what it is. If I can't figure it out between next week, I might just have to play it again, and hopefully someone will be listening next week who knows what it is. I mean, no one even called in. They could have invented. They could have made up some name, and I would have believed them.
Well, you can't text and drive. It's against the law.
You think people are driving while they're listening? Is that safe? Well, it's 4:48, according to Studio Clock. From 5 to 6 is Democracy Now! I had a few other announcements I wanted to make. One is, this evening at River Valley Market from 6:30 to 8, there's going to be a bucket pannier making workshop to make bike buckets to hang on the back of your bike rack so you can carry stuff. I have one on my bike, and I find it very useful for throwing everything in. And it's really great because if you want to strap even more stuff on your rack, it provides a wide base. It's also really good for bike trips because you can use it as a laundry washing bucket. And you always have a stool when you need to sit down on something. Just take it off your bike and there's your seat.
True.
So that's at River Valley Market this evening from 6:30 to 8. The first part of the workshop is making bike bucket panniers, and I will supply materials. And the second part of the workshop is winter biking tips. And I'll have a bunch of mittens, gloves, boots, balaclavas, all kinds of gear on hand to give you a demonstration of what works for me and some of my housemates and friends. A bunch of us do pedal people, so we ride bikes and haul trash and are out all year round. And so we've figured out over the years some gear that will keep us warm. Let's see. And next week on Out There, I'm going to interview Dennis, who's a friend of mine who does leaf blowing and other yard care odd job things, and a pedal person who does yard care, human power yard care. Specifically, I wanted to talk about leaf blowing and leaf raking. It's getting close to Halloween, and some of the noises of the leaf vacuums and choppers and blowers and all those kind of spooked me out a little bit. But I wanted to have a discussion with someone who uses the big machines and someone who uses human power and try and figure out what are ways that people's needs can be met or desires for a yard that meets some sort of aesthetic standards. So next Wednesday from 4 to 5 will be that. Anything, Dwayne, you'd like to add?
As far as next week's show?
For today.
I just like to mention again, this weekend is Shelter Sunday weekend. It helps a lot of great organizations, so please give generously. It helps Grace House, the Grove Street Inn and ServiceNet, Interfaith Emergency Shelter, the Manna Soup Kitchen, Safe Passage, and Single Room Occupancy Project. For more information, go to www.NorthamptonShelterSunday.org, and I'm sure they'd be happy to hear from you.
Another thing I'd like to announce is the Arise Injustice Liberation Front presents Ferguson Fridays every Friday in October. I guess we have two Fridays left, the 24th and the 31st, from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. in Springfield on the corner of State and Federal. Stand in solidarity with the victims of police brutality and militarization in Ferguson, as well as the victims of police violence in Springfield and across the country. Feel free to bring your best signs and props. You can call 413-734-4948 or contact Frank at arisespringfield.org with questions or to sign up to speak on any of the three dates. That's Ferguson Fridays in Springfield. I have another song to end the session. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! From 5 to 6.
Well, thank you, Ruthie. Thank you for having me here this afternoon.
Thank you, Dwayne. Thank you so much for coming.
And it's a pleasure to take you and help you out on your first show. I hope I helped you out. And people listen.
Yeah, a little bit of practice and it'll be great. Here's Garth Brooks.
This ain't coming from no prophet. Just an ordinary man. When I close my eyes, I see the way this world shall be when we all hand in hand. For a crust of bread, when the last man dies for just words that he said, when they're sheltered over the poorest head, we shall be free. When the last thing we notice is the color of skin, and the first thing we look for is the beauty within, when the skies and the oceans are clean again, then we shall be free. We shall be free. We shall be free. Stand straight and walk proud, 'cause we shall be free. Anyone we choose, when this world's big enough for all different views, when we all can worship from our own kind of pew, then we shall be free, yeah. We shall be free. We shall. Stand straight, have a little faith.
I'm not losing you.